Did you guys get that? Good morning, everyone. I'm an alcoholic, and my problem is so Nina. It's good to see everybody here this morning. Oh, my goodness. Let's get all of the formalities out of the way. First and foremost, yay, God, you're so amazing. Thank you for you being you and having us here together this morning. Yeah. And thank you, God, for Sunny. Yay, Sunny. Thank you for asking me to participate in my own sobriety and to come out and share my experience on steps 8 and 9. I want to thank, I see a few members of my sobriety family. I want to say happy sober birthday to Lydia. I see you. 8 years is amazing. Yay. And I don't know who else is celebrating a milestone, but I do know my grand sponsor is here and she just took 34 years. Woo, woo. Woo. Yay, Granny. Thanks for writing this book. We needed it. Love picking with you, old timers. You know, I call you guys the first 100. Got over 30 years. Yeah, Teresa. Yeah, Teresa's used to hearing that. I'm just picking on you, Granny. But I do. I want to tell all you old timers, thank you for my life. Thank you for coming up in here and praying for my. I was lost. I was lost out there, and you guys came in here, and you had that moment of silence, and for that, I'll forever, ever be grateful. So, okay, Sunny, what do I do? I'm supposed to just jump into the two steps that I've been assigned to speak on.
However you want to do that, darling. Yep,
All
you do
right. All right, let's have at it. Okay, let me give you some of the preliminaries. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety day, I just turned 16 myself. Oh, yay, God. So my sobriety date is March the 14th of 2008. And for that day, I'll forever be grateful. I have a sponsor, Marlene, who has a sponsor, Teresa, who has a sponsor, and so on and so on and so on. I have a major sobriety support group. My home group is Never Too Early, Big Book Workshop on Sunday mornings on Zoom. Did I cover everything? I think I covered everything. Yay! So, I love to refer to the steps as a, it's a dance. This thing has turned into a marvelous little dance. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I love to dance. And I forgot that I loved to dance. When I got here, I was raggedy, toe up from the blow up. It was horrible. It was bad. And this judge, the criminal court building, he suggested, okay, I'm lying. He mandated, it was a law that I go into a treatment facility and get some help. And I'm grateful to Commissioner Kennedy as well. So I came in here, I didn't come in here looking for God. I didn't come in here to learn no 12-step dance. I just came in here to kind of get the heat off me so that I could go and do what I do. And you know what I do? I drink. And I would say like a sailor, but I was actually in the Navy for about 80 days until they put me out. So here's the dance breakdown for me. Steps 1, 2, and 3 for me 1, 2, 3 is give up. 4, 5, 6 is fess up. 7, 8, 9 is clean up. 10, 11, 12 is how I stay up. So I was asked to share on these cleanup steps. So if I'm sharing about steps 8 and 9, I'm in a place where, you know, where am I standing right now? Just came out of step 7, and I've asked my creator, if he just take all of me, right? Just have all I needed from the top to the bottom, all the good stuff, all the bad stuff. So there's some awareness right now. I know that I ain't all good, and I know that I ain't all bad. But whatever I am, whatever this is, whatever encompasses Nina, God, take it from me. I'm seeing messages. Okay. And so I pray and ask God to remove any of my defects of character that stand in the way of my usefulness to help him and my fellow, and to strengthen me and bless me as I go from that moment to do his bidding, to do what it is that he'll have me to do. So God's been with me since step 3. You know, we're going to rewind it. He done been with me since step 3, right? And I get to step 7, and I've gone into another, you know, contractual agreement. Take all of me. I'm operating with you now. I'm supposed to be dependent upon you now, and not supposed to be relying on you today. Not that old Nina. So when I get to step 8, I'll never forget my first time through the steps. I lived in a sober living, and one of my aunties lived in the back in an apartment complex. So my sponsor had told me, okay, so now we're moving on to step 8. And when I hung up, I freaked out. I was like, I'm in step 8. Oh my God. Like, I felt like I had got my big girl underwear. I'm in step 8. And then I was like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And I ran over to Carolyn's, and she never locked her door. So I just burst into her living room. I was like, I'm in step 8. And she said, okay. I said, what do I do? She said, you got a pen? I said, yeah. She said, you got some paper? I said, yeah. She said, baby, go make your list and knock on my door the next time you come bursting. And so anyway, I just needed to make the list. Step 8. And become willing. I got here, raggedy, toe up from the floor. But since I was, that first bit of willingness came back in step 3, and I was like, okay, I'm willing to prove that this, okay, this works for y'all. But, I got told my sponsor, I said, okay, she keep mentioning these steps. I'm going to show her that, yeah, I'm willing to prove that they don't work. So I can, you know, let her know that I'm not one of you guys. But it was working. It started working from the very beginning. It started working. So in being rushed into, I was so happy that I had did my step 4 and then my step 5, and then the 12 and 12 talks about, you know, waving that searchlight over everything. You know how bright a searchlight is. So got to my sponsor's house, and she's a beautiful fireplace and a billion cats, but that was on the 4th step. Anyway, we burned it. So when I got to step 8, I was like, where's my list? She was like, You didn't write down the names? I was like, are you serious right now? She made number one of the second go round of the first step because she didn't tell me to make another list. But just in case you're doing this for the first time, spoiler alert, if you burn it or throw it into the ocean, make sure you copy the names down from your fourth step so that you will be ready when you get to step eight. So I get to step eight. I got the names, and in my heart of hearts, I'm willing to make amends. Move to step nine, and here we are. Dun, 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 dun. Here's the best suggestion I could give anyone who's new, old, or in between. Please, please, please do not make amends without talking to your sponsor or your spiritual advisor first. Just takes a quick minute. So I may think that I know what to do, know what to say, but what I don't want to do is cause more harm. So I think that's an imperative part of step nine. So when we get to that place, I love that. Like, there are prayers for every step. And I have to pray to become willing to do this, even when, you know what I mean? It's like a couple names on there. Okay, I'm willing to do this. And then maybe I'll apologize to her, maybe not. So she goes another list. And then there's a no. It's on here, but nah, I'm not telling. No, I'm not apologizing to him. I'm not making amends to him, but he's still on the list. And what I'm asking daily, and then sometimes throughout the course of the day, is like, hey, God, help me to become willing. And mine came out like, help me to become willing to become willing to become willing. That's how deep that hat went. And you know, we say prayers around here. You say the prayer until you pray the prayer. I'm so grateful for the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm so grateful that the 12 and 12 even combs through it a little finer than the book does. And what I'm looking for right in this moment is like, where am I standing right now? This is where the rubber meets the road. At the end of this meeting, we're going to read the Lord's Prayer. And when I hear the prayer and I'm praying the prayer, you know, there's that part, you know, like, God, forgive us where we've been. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. Okay, what did you just hear? God, I need for you to forgive me the way that I forgive others. Just like that. Same grace and mercy that I give somebody else, this is the same way I want you to look at me. So I'm treading, lightly and looking at them, how I choose wholeheartedly to look at certain situations. Because God gives me grace and mercy every day, not just me, give it to all. So here we go. I don't want to half forgive nobody because I don't want God to half forgive. Half forgive me. You know what I'm saying? So here we go. Oh, that first time, that first go round always sits big with me. And it went like this. I used to live with this Indian guy. His name was Bear also, right? And so he was a medicine man. How convenient. And so Bear would have money in a suit jacket in a closet. And I owed him a financial amends. There we go. So I talked to Marlene. I talked to my sponsor about it. And here's what she asked me. How much money you got in the bank? I said, what? She said, "How much money do you got in the bank?" I said, "Why is that important?" She says, "How much do you think you stole from Bear?" Said, "A lot." She said, "Do you have a lot in your bank account?" I said, "No." So I told her how much I had, and she told me to go and get, listen to me, all my money, except like about $47. I think it was $1,747, right? She told me to go get $1,700 out of the bank. She had asked me, like, had I still, I was like, I stole way more than 1,700. That pocket was an endless well for me, right? So years and years of grab. I didn't know he had a mouse trap in there, Pam. Look, he had a mouse trap in the pocket. And so I would kind of look at it and then I would grab whatever bill I pulled out, that's what I was gonna do for the day. So anyway, yeah, so when I was telling her all about that, she remembered the whole story from my fifth step. And so I went and got that money out, and I called Bear and made arrangements. I was working out in Pasadena at this barbecue joint, and hey, look, he said, "Yeah, okay, you can come by." And then I had the money, and then I went over there. I sat in the car outside his door and I prayed. I was like, "Oh God, I've been up here in years, and you know my heart. Please help me to go through this, make this financial amends." And okay, here we go. This is my first one, God. Come on, walk with me. You go first, I'm gonna follow you. And so I knocked on the door and he's like, "Hey, come on in." And so he's a pretty big guy, pretty hefty guy, like about 300 pounds. And he has all of these artifacts like bow and arrows and tomahawks, all kinds of stuff, like, around his house. So I say to him, he goes, "Look at you. You look great. I'm so proud of you." But he was one of the people who called my parents when he saw me, like, whoo, he saw me when it was real bad, right? And that's when the pocket got cut off from going through the pocket, right? He wouldn't let me in. He wouldn't let me in no more. And so I said to him, I said, "Thank you. I'm in a 12-step program and I'm at my step nine now, and this is where I have to come and rectify some wrongs that I made. And I hope you heard me clearly. I didn't come to apologize, even though I can make an apology. I'm sorry. But that's not the gist of step nine. Step nine is for me to rectify the wrong that I've caused, the harm that I caused. It's not me fixing it. It's me asking you, how can I fix this? Is it possible to heal this, to make reparation?" And so I asked him, and he said, "What did you do?" I said, "Bear, I stole a lot of money." I'm smiling now, but I wasn't smiling then. I said, "I stole money from you, and I took it out of that pocket over there." And then I said, "I don't know how much money I stole from you, but I'm willing to pay it back." Guys, he was a big guy, and he rocked himself out of that chair, and he got up, and went to the back room, and I started looking at these tomahawks and these bows and arrows. I was like, "This man about to kill me, right? He must kill me." And so he comes out with two $100 bills. And he walks over to me and he says, "When's the last time you talked to your kids?" I said, "I talked to my kids like earlier this week." And he says, "Here, send, I have two daughters." He said, "Send them both $100. And as far as you and I are concerned, you keep living this life that you're living because it looks good on you. You don't owe me anything. Only thing I want for you is to continue living the way you're living now on a whole new spiritual plane." I said, "Okay." And I was shaking. I walked over there. I mean, I walked in there with $1,700 and I was walking out with $1,900 and I was like, oh dear God, what's happening? Home a sponsor and I was like, what to do? Let me tell you what happened. Blah, blah, blah. He gave me $200 more. So now I walked in with $1,700. Now I got $1,900. She said, go to the bank and put that money back in the bank. She asked me, did I have like $5, and told me to go in CVS and get two cards, two blank cards, and mail the $100 to my kid and explain to them that that was from Bear and this is due to living a better life. And I put that in the card and I mailed it out. And that was just an amazing experience. When I woke up the next morning, I was like, dun, 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 where's that amends list? I was so ready to make amends that everybody got this. Woo, this step nine is so, you know what I mean? I was with it, right? So I'm going to tell y'all this, just spoiler alert. The rest of them didn't go quite like that one. But it did energize me to meet the list with fortitude, you know? Because I got to talk to God and I got to say, like, wow, you're prepping me for a better, for a better way of life. I'm willing to do some shit that I was scared to do before. I'm facing fears that I would have never faced before. I had to call my grand sponsor for other amends because they were like, you know, I wanted, you know, baby daddy to not be a part of that Cuban drug family that he was a part of. I wanted him to change his life because I changed mine. And Teresa was like, you knew who he was when you met him. And I was like, but see, listen, I'm sober now. She was like, good for you. Wait, what? Like, we can't call the sobriety family together and beat him up and tell him to act right. She was like, that's not what we do here. What? Wait, I thought you're on my side. And these are feelings that I genuinely had. And then she had to talk me into staying on this in this spirit. This spiritual place that prepped me because, spoiler alert, I'm on my way to enter the realm of the spirit. So the things that I was, the way that I was living, I had to change my outlook, my perspective, my walk. The rubber is meeting the road. Where I'm loud, I had to get quiet. Where I'm pushy, I had to stand in the end of the line. You know, my behaviors and my actions, I was living out loud, and I was living out loud and living color, and certain things became obvious to me that I didn't see before, because when I got down the list and I had to see them kids, you know, them two daughters of mine, I got that little punk ass, oh, excuse me, that got that little $100 that I had, Bear had sent them. They came at me with shots like, oh, this is a part of the program. This is what you're doing at that place. So, okay, you missed my 12th birthday party. Can I get my pony now? I was like, a pony? Yeah, no. And they kept pushing the button because they were trying to, I kept getting feedback like, from a place where I was before I was operating out of guilt and shame. But all of a sudden, I got this backbone and I started to understand that this is not how I don't operate from that place anymore. I Now, we get to sit together and you get an opportunity to say everything you need to say to me with impunity. Here's the carpet. Say what you need to say to me. I'll be whatever it is you need for me to be. All them names that you were calling me and her granny and auntie say about me, you get to say all of that. I won't be affected. Just tell me how you feel. And then I want you to let me know what it is I can do in order to fix it. They're like, we can say anything. This was my chance. And you ain't gonna do nothing. You ain't gonna, no, I'm not. You know what I mean? You know, so I got a chance to hear some stuff. And when they share with me exactly how they felt and the stuff that Granny was saying, because that youngest one, keep in mind, I didn't leave her. I didn't abandon her. My mother had to come and get her. I never had her in the first place. I just merely gave birth to her. And then I called my mother on the phone and said, listen, I had a baby. Need you to come get her. She said, you had a what? I had a baby. You had a what? I said, listen, me and my husband, who's Cuban, mommy, I need you to come get this baby. We've got things we need to do, and I don't have time for this baby. He might kill me and the baby. She said, a what? She was in disbelief. She was, and so here's something that came to me as far as making an amends. I'm telling you about the kids. When it came to making the amends to my mother, I merely stole money from Bear. That's that financial amend. Beep game. You want to see a cold thief? Check this out. I stole her whole retirement. And I had to make them. How do you give somebody that back? How do you rectify that one? So anyways, yeah, that was mind blowing to me. So she came and got that baby. That baby's still there, 20 years old. They thick as thieves. I'm an outsider where they're concerned. You know what I mean? But anytime she came to visit or I flew her out, she let me know that it was her, it's about her and her granny. And I'm not trying to mess with that. I'm not trying to join their club. All I want to know is how I can be of service. You know, what is the best? How can I be of service? I ain't here to change nothing. You know, I just need to know how I can be of service, how I can help, you know. But yeah. I got to the place where I figured I didn't have to buy ponies, and no, I wasn't there for your 12th or your 16th birthday. High five. I see you, Sunny. However, I'm here now and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to rectify the situation. My other family members were open. They were just grateful that they, you know, my mother came back to town and she told everybody, listen, I saw Nina. And the next time you see Nina, Nina's sick. Next time you see Nina, you're going to see Nina in a box. And so everybody in the family was like, oh, dear God, you know, your mom said you're dying. And I was like, I was. As a matter of fact, I was dead. But here I am, standing before you, and I know I missed a bunch of birthdays, and I know I missed some graduations, and I know I missed some childbirths, but here I am. Can I babysit? What can I do to rectify the situation? Because I would have been the best aunt in the world had I not been sick, you know? But step 9 teaches me to not go in and criticize or, you know, curtail what I did and blow up what I think they did. I'm just willing to accept the responsibility to own my stuff and apologize and see where it is what it is I can do to rectify the situation. So that's putting on my big girl panties at this step. And I'm grateful for all of the help that I've gotten. You know, even in 16 years, I still need to pick up the phone and call and say, what should this look like? What should it sound like? Because I've been around here and came to a couple of meetings and made a couple of amends, and I think that I got this. No, I don't. Every situation's new. I've made enough amends that here it is. Here's my truth. That I don't want to make no more. So I'm kind of being precarious in the situations that are precarious. I just look at them and go, shut your mouth, keep your mouth closed, keep your mouth closed, shut your mouth, keep your eye, turn your head, turn your head. Because I don't like, if I keep my mouth closed, because that's a column that's added in my fourth step. You got all four columns and I put another column there, and this column says, if I had it to do again, what would I do differently? And each time I put that fifth column in my fourth step, it always says, I would have kept my mouth closed. So step nine teaches me that, to stay mindful about what comes out of this hole in my face. You know, my sponsor tells me even today, you've gone through the 12 steps, and I look at you some days, Nina, and we need to take your face through those 12. My face needs the 12 steps, you say, because I guess something happened, you know, when I have those moments. But listen, Sunny, thank you for asking me to come out and share my experience on step 8 and 9. I don't know if anything I made sense. All I can give you is my experience. And with that, know that I love you. And everybody have a beautiful God-conscious day.
Oh, thank you so much, Nina. Thank you so much, honey. Oh.